Chapter 5. In Portal Danger. No, that's not it. I stare at the gym floor, where someone's sneaker has left a black scuff mark, and hum to myself some more. Ugh, that's not right either. What are you muttering about? Jai asks. Flinching, I look up at him. I'd almost forgotten where I was, or that I was supposed to be stretching my hamstrings. I cross one leg over the other and reach for my toes. Just trying to think of a melody. I know everyone is waiting for me to produce some amazing spell for the trials. I know because this morning at breakfast, no less than 9 kids stopped by my table to ask how the amazing spell was coming along, and I had absolutely nothing to give them but a queasy smile. Still nothing? What about your new maestro? Isn't she helping? I wince. Miss Mott's teaching has been, so far, the opposite of helping. I'm more confused about how composing works than I was before I had a composing class. In the week since she arrived, I've recorded every mood I've had, learned 14 yoga poses, folded 6 origami horses, painted 8 rocks to represent the 8 basic emotions, drank 6 cups of ginkgo tea, learned how to tie-dye, and composed exactly 0 notes. My brain feels constipated, I groan. I'm going to walk up on that stage at the trials and have absolutely nothing to play. Maybe the judges will accept my new collection of tie-dyed bandanas instead. Coach Phil blows his whistle and barks, "Jumping jacks, go!" With a sigh, I throw my arms half-heartedly into the air in a sudden flashback to my week at sports camp last summer. I can still hear the bleat of the camp counselor's whistle and his favorite slogan booming in my ears, "You haven't failed until you've given up." Well, I haven't given up, but I still feel like I'm failing. Jai and Darby bounce on either side of me. This may be a school for music craft, but regular PE is a rite of passage no student gets out of. Strong bodies make for strong music, the maestros like to say. So every Thursday afternoon, all the 7th graders sweat it out in collective misery. The gym echoes with the squeak of sneakers and gasping breaths punctuated by occasional moans of despair. "Take it easy," Jai says. "We've still got 6 whole weeks." 5, actually, says Darby. "And that includes the time we have to actually practice Amelia's spell." Not all the sweat in my armpits is from the jumping jacks. "No slacking, Jones," shouts Coach Phil. He rolls his wheelchair in front of me and glares. He's got arms like show hogs, which he likes to display by always wearing tank tops. "How are you supposed to kick Sousa's butts when you can't even get your own into gear?" Ugh, even the gym teacher is on my case. He's about to yell some more, but then Miss Nurani, the maestro of strings, walks into the gym for her afternoon Pilates, and his face goes red. "That is, keep up the good work, kid." He wheels quickly to the other side of the gym, says hello to Miss Nurani, then begins doing pull-ups, lifting himself, wheelchair and all. The pull-up bars just happen to be located right in front of the Pilates mats, so Miss Nurani has an excellent view of Coach Phil's biceps.
"Good timing, maestro," says Jai as he and half the other kids stop jumping and just lift their arms up and down.
With Coach Phil distracted, the rest of us can go easy.
I was starting to worry that she wouldn't show up today.
Maybe I could compose a spell to help Coach chill out, I mutter.
"Maybe you should try trusting Miss Mott's process," suggests Darby. "I'm sure this is all leading somewhere."
"Is it?"
Jai gives her a skeptical look.
"Don't get me wrong. I'd give my teeth for a class as easy as this one sounds. What was your homework yesterday, Amelia? Napping?"
"Meditation," I sigh. But yes, it had turned into a nap. I need more time, like a year, maybe, or 2.
"Oh," Jai spreads his hands wide. "Maybe we could do another brainstorm session."
Darby snorts.
The last one we did, your idea was that she compose a spell to unclog toilets. Hey, I live in a guy's dorm. It's a problem. What Amelia needs is to stay disciplined, keep practicing, and trust the process. What Amelia needs is help. What Amelia needs, I interrupt, is some space. Maybe a long walk to clear my head. Thankfully, Coach Phil blows his whistle, ending class and giving me the chance to do just that. I change into warm clothes, pull on the purple and gray scarf and hat Gran knitted for me, and wave goodbye to Jai and Darby. With an hour of free time before dinner, I head for the one place at Mistwick I know I can be alone, the Echo Wood. But when I slip out of the locker room, I bump smack into Mia Jones. Wonder Girl, where are you sneaking off to? I wasn't sneaking. I'm going for a walk in the woods. All alone? Weird. She puts her hand on the wall, her arm blocking my path. You know, I saw you talking to Darby. What, in gym? We have 5 classes together, Mia. I don't see how. I told you to stay away from her. And trust me, you don't want me as an enemy. Jeez Louise, this girl has control issues. I don't want to be enemies, honest. But, you know, Darby's allowed to have other friends besides you. Yes, just not you. She pushes off the wall and walks away, her hair swinging behind her. See you around, Wonder Girl. Watch your step out there. It can get pretty icy. Seriously, what is her problem? All week long, she's been keeping Darby close to her like she's some kind of pet. Maybe it has to do with her shipwreck and her missing mom, and she has some kind of paranoia about losing people. But I'm starting to get the feeling it's more personal than that. Just not you. Clearly, she's still holding my acceptance to Mistwick against me. But why? It's not like my being here got her kicked out or anything. How long will she keep this grudge? I rush outside into the cold and the trees, never gladder for the quiet and solitude of the forest. When the wind blows hard enough, the echo trees will sing out Canon in D, the protective spell that wards the school. But today, in the lightest of breezes, the trees only rustle, their swaying, bare branches humming with soft tones. Sweet flute, sharp violin, vibrating cello. Like an orchestra tuning up before a performance, the trees play dozens of notes that somehow create harmony despite their different keys. If only people worked that way. I don't go more than 5 steps into the woods before I hear a shiver of music deep in the trees. I stop for a minute, turning my ear to it. At first, I think it's just the echo tree's natural sound. But the more I listen, the more I pick out the faintest melody. And it's not Canon in D. Curious, I go deeper into the forest, my steps crunching on the frost-covered leaves. The sound gets louder and louder, and it's definitely some kind of spell. Who'd be out here practicing in the freezing cold? Then I push through a thicket and see it. A glass piano sits in a frozen glade. Its top open, it shines in the dim forest as if there's a spotlight shining from the sky. Tiny butterflies made of ice flutter all around, leaving trails of glittering dust. Meanwhile, the piano keys play of their own accord, and the air shimmers with swirls of purple magic. Purple? A teleportation spell? There's no sign of a musician. The hairs on my arms rise. If this is another ghost thing, I swear. I approach the piano cautiously. Hello? Is anyone? But the moment I step into the glade, it's like I trigger some hidden switch. The piano vanishes in a flash of light. It was just an illusion all along. The keys, however, zoom into the air in a long black and white chain, and the music does not stop. The keys begin spinning in an oval above the ground, forming a kind of doorway. Through it, purple light ripples like the surface of a pool. Purple magic. A piano key doorway. This is definitely some kind of portal situation. Oh, no. No way. That's a double, triple, quadruple no from me. I am not getting involved in any kind of ghostly weirdness. Not this time. I've learned my lesson. I choose normal from here on out. Just call me Amelia the Ordinary. Amelia the Boring. Amelia the Too Smart to Enter Strange Portals in the Woods. But before I can turn around, words appear on the watery purple curtain in the doorway. Amelia Jones, you are invited to witness the Midnight Orchestra. I gasp, then plunge a hand into my coat pocket. Sure enough, the black note card is still there, where I'd stuffed it the day Mia Jones arrived. Seeing her had completely driven it out of my mind. But now I hold it up and see that even the handwriting on the portal matches that on the card perfectly. A doorway will be provided on the next full moon. I guess I know what that means now. Though there's no moon, it's 4 p.m. Well, I don't know what a midnight orchestra is or why I'm invited to see it, but I have absolutely zero intention of finding out. I turn and run, racing through the echo trees, my exhales little white puffs, my shoes crunching on the leaves. If I had a tail, I'd tuck it right between my legs. My plan is simple. Run all the way to school, right up the steps to the headmaster's office, and report everything to her. Let the grown-ups deal with this. But whoever is out here playing tricks is not playing fair. Suddenly, the portal appears right in front of me. And, unable to stop in time, I hurtle right through it.